Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your local real estate needs. Just a reminder, as always, please rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things with regard to the show. If you can leave a comment, do that. Anything you can do on the podcast app that you're using, and I think this podcast is pretty much on all of them, I would appreciate that to get it out to as many people as possible. Not been getting a whole lot of ratings or reviews lately. Come on, guys, pick up the slack. I really need you guys to do that as much as possible, so please don't forget. And just a reminder, as always, this episode is sponsored by Piper Insurance Group, my go-to for home, auto, and umbrella insurance. They're an independent insurance agency, so they can quote with many different insurance companies and bring back the best rate that they can find. They're licensed in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia, and they can handle your investment properties as well. Flips, rentals, ground-up new construction, residential, commercial, all of those good things. So please reach out to them today. I don't just mention Piper Insurance because they are a sponsor. They're a sponsor because I use them, okay? I will never have a sponsor on the show that I don't believe in and that I don't use myself. Please reach out to them today for a free quote. All right, today we're going to be talking about market stats for the month of October. I know this probably feels really delayed, right, because it's December, but we had a few things that were in order that we had to address the past couple of episodes, I felt like. And so that's what we did, right? We went ahead and addressed a handful of things that need to be addressed. Oh, I tried to share my screen for those watching on YouTube, and I don't like the result. All right, let's try that again. There we go. I always like to do that thankfulness episode. I could have instead done this market stats, but a lot of people respond that they like that that Thanksgiving episode, so I like to keep doing that every year. I think it's a good reminder for me as well. But regardless, if you've been following the show for a while, you know these market stats come out kind of late in the month, and so we don't yet have November's numbers yet, so we're looking back at October. Probably won't get November for another few weeks, and so we'll address that when the time comes. But we're just going to jump right in here. I've got some thoughts on some of these numbers, and I think just to start off, keep in mind one thing as you're looking at all of these. We had a major storm event in September. I just worked out. My throat is parched. I should have water right here. I don't. We had a major storm event in September, and that really threw off a lot. I mean, I had a listing that went under contract literally the day before Helene came through, and we still have not closed on that property. Still under contract with the same buyers that got under contract way back then, but we're still waiting, you know? So that has caused a lot of impacts on a lot of different things. So I will keep coming back to that throughout this episode, most likely. I don't have this episode scripted out, so who knows what I'll say. But that's something just to keep in mind. You don't want to draw massive, massive conclusions from data when we've had a very wonky storm event that has completely thrown off the entire local real estate market. But at the same time, we don't want to completely disregard these numbers as well. So let's just start right at the top with new listings. New listings, if you look historically, you'll see that we have been in the positives year over year for every month for a very long time on new listings data. We've been seeing a lot of supply coming into the market, more supply coming into the market than demand that has come into the market. And October reversed that trend. October was the first month in a very long time that we saw fewer listings year on year versus the year before. So October, we had 1,860 new listings. That was down from 1,877 October of 2023. Now, again, hurricane, right? The first few weeks of October were completely thrown off, if not more. I mean, I've had several properties that I've listed just the past few weeks that I was supposed to list back in October. So I think in some cases, we will still see probably listings spill into November or December that were supposed to be listed in September, October. So we might see, even though we're seeing a kind of a year-on-year dip here, I imagine this is going to rebound probably in a big way once we get the November stats in and perhaps the December stats as well. The only thing that might prevent that is if people, after getting through the storm and all of that, if they decide, you know what, I really don't want to list my home during the holiday season, all of that. Maybe they're concerned about seasonal trends, those sorts of things. I don't know. So that does remain a possibility. But if I had to put money on it, my prediction would be that we'll see these numbers rebound and the new listings data will probably end up coming back pretty strong. November of last year only had 1,558 new listings. I'd be shocked if we had fewer than that November of this year. So we'll keep up with that. Pending sales, the count of properties on which offers have been accepted in a given month. This is a number that's usually low by about 350 to 400 units for the most recent month. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock in October at the moment. I'll come back to that. What we need to look at is September. September was our first month, again, in a long time, that had a negative year-on-year number for pending sales. Now, I do think that this was impacted by Helene, right? Because Helene came in and kind of wiped out the last few days of the month. And those few days can be the difference between 1,128 pending sales, which is what we had, and 1,173, which is what we had September of 2023. So that was a negative 3.8%. That was a 3.8% decrease year on year. That being said, I feel like that probably is deceptive, and probably what we'll end up seeing is, again, October rebounding into a positive year-on-year pending sales number. Now, remember, a lot of contracts are falling through right now, and so just because these pending sales are high year-on-year doesn't mean that they're converting into closed sales year-on-year, which we'll talk about here in a second. But the October number is looking like it's going to be down quite a bit from the 1,194 that we had in October of 2024. October of 2023. Fall of 2023 was weird. We had some wonky things that happened back then. That being said, it was a fairly normal seasonal trend. If you're looking on YouTube, you can see this little bump. There was a little bump that happened in October. That bump is not that uncommon if you look back on some other years that frequently happens around this time of year. And so I suspect that we'll probably end up, once the revised data for October comes in, pending sales, we'll probably end up being probably pretty close to this 1194 number, if not perhaps in the 1200s. And so I don't think it'll be a big decrease, if it's any decrease at all, once the revisions come in. Closed sales, we've now had really a strange year of ups and downs, topsy-turvy kind of year in terms of some months down year on year, some months up year on year. September was down 1.7% year on year, but then October rebounded up 4.8% year on year. Again, some of that is probably due to the hurricane. Right, we ended up having several days of closings that were lost due to the hurricane, and then those closings got bumped into October. Once everyone got their power back, that was a whole thing. Deeds couldn't be recorded, closing attorneys couldn't do title searches. A lot happened. So October's closed sales were 1,299 as opposed to October of last year, which were 1,239. So that's a 4.8% increase year on year. I think that's, those numbers are probably a little bit inflated as a result of Helene. So we'll see what November ends up being once it's all said and done. Days on market until sale. I told you guys that this number was going to go up, and I think it's going to continue to go up again because of this storm. This is, out of all of the numbers, this is the one I'm putting the least amount of stock in, because I already just gave an example, right? A home that I listed in September, it went under contract right away, and it's not going to close probably until the end of December. So what's that going to end up being? That's going to end up being basically a 90-day close for a home that went under contract right away. That's artificial. That's an artificially long transaction because a tree fell on the house, okay? So I would not be shocked if these November and perhaps even December numbers get pumped into the 60s, currently 54 days on market until sale. What that means is that you can kind of expect, if you list a home, it's going to take close to 2 months to go under contract. But again, I think that this number is a little bit higher than it should be. as a result of some of this Helene effect. We'll just call it the Helene effect moving forward. But nonetheless, we'll look at the data here. 54 days on market was up 28.6% over the 42 days on market that we had in October of last year. So we'll have to track this, right? If this does go into the 60s and then doesn't come back down into the 50s, that's a very meaningful thing. But what I could totally see this doing is going up into the 60s for the rest of this year and then coming back down to the 50s to start next year. That's very much in the cards. That's not a prediction I'm making at this point. We'll have a predictions episode later this year, before the end of the year. But that's something that I could see happening for sure. Median sales price. For the first time in a very long time, we've now had two straight months of the median sales price showing a year-on-year decrease. Now, I'll get to the numbers here in a second. But again, I just want to point out that October of last year was kind of weird, right? October of last year had one of, really the second highest print that we've ever had, which was 324,900 was the median October of 2023. That was unusually high. And, you know, we saw it crest that number once again in July of this past year. But that was an abnormally high number for the month of October. Needless to say, we didn't hit that this year. We were at 314,900, so 10,000 below. That's a 3.1% decrease year on year. And again, it's significant. It's for sure significant. I don't want to downplay the fact that we've had two straight months of year-on-year median decreases to the sales price. Does this mean that prices are going down? It could. But again, I want to see the Helene effect completely purged out of the data before I say for a fact prices are going down. I am not putting a tremendous amount of stock in this. Now, has the market slowed? Yes. The market has absolutely slowed, and we're for sure seeing sellers not getting what they want, buyer, generally speaking, and buyers not getting what they want. Nobody is happy right now. Everyone's unhappy with the state of the market right now, and that's just the way it is. But we'll have to keep track of this. If this doesn't turn the corner, right, let's just say by January, and we're still seeing negative numbers going into the new year, then that's something to take note of. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing if you're a seller or someone that really keeps up with the value of your real estate. But if you're a buyer, that could be a great thing. And I'm seeing some really fantastic deals out there for buyers. I sent a property to some buyers recently. They could have had it for $55,000 less than what it ended up selling for. Now, they all chickened out for one reason or another. I shouldn't say that they chickened out. That's not a fair way of framing it. They each had different reasons for not being interested. There are deals out there right now that are not going to be out there for forever because of where the mortgage rates are right now, because of the way the inventory situation is right now, because of uncertainty due to the Trump administration and how that's going to impact things. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and that is for sure causing price appreciation to be suppressed. Now, whether prices are going down or not as a result of something other than the Helene effect, that's a separate question. Here's why I think that the Helene effect for sure is impacting this number. I'll give you one example. I'm not going to belabor the point. Just one great example. There was a home that I saw that came on the market recently for like $200,000, like, which is pretty cheap, right? We're talking about the median sales price is $315,000. So a home that comes on the market for $200,000 is pretty cheap by Greenville County standards. So it came on the market for $200,000. I looked at it immediately, and the first thing I noticed was just a massive tree on top of the house. It was like, okay, well, I see why it's cheap. But then I looked into the history of the house, and the house had actually been under contract in the mid-300s, and then that contract fell through after the tree fell on the home, and I don't know if the homeowner didn't have insurance or if they decided to just pocket the insurance and just sell the home as is rather than doing a bunch of work on it. But regardless, there's a home that would have sold for probably mid to high 300s. That's instead going to sell in the low 200s. And that's a direct result of Helene. So that is how a storm like Helene can cause these numbers to be suppressed. Now, interestingly, the average sales price was not affected negatively by Helene. Actually, the average sales price had, I believe, the highest year-on-year increase that I have seen since I've started recording this podcast, which is almost 5 years at this point. A 9.1% increase year-on-year, up from 380 and change, which was October of last year, up to 415 and change, October of this year. Now, I don't put as much stock in the average sales price as I do the median, because the average is skewed by when you get a bunch of expensive properties or a bunch of cheap properties that sell in a month, right? Whereas the median just gives you that middle number, and it's really the most accurate way to kind of track where prices are going. But I do find this interesting. We'll come back to why the average is so disconnected from the median here in a second. Percent of list price received. We are now down to 98%. We've been flirting in the low 98s. We're back down to 98%, which is the lowest that we've had all year so far. And that's 3.3% lower than the 98.3% that we had in October of last year. So sellers not getting quite as much as they have at other times of the year. But this is a seasonal number, right? If you look at traditional times of the year, you can see towards the end of the year, the percent of list price received goes down. Sellers are willing to part with the home perhaps more quickly, maybe the first offer that they get, rather than kind of stringing things along, because they're at the end of the year. They don't want to have to be thinking about this. They just want to move on from whatever the property is, or perhaps, you know, if they're moving themselves, they're in a position where they want to move before the new year. And so they're willing to be a little bit more aggressive in terms of, or not aggressive, depending on how you look at it. But they're willing to accept usually offers that are a little bit lower than they would at other times. And that's what we're seeing with that. Housing Affordability Index. We knew that this was not going to stay above 100, which that's what we want, right? We want housing affordability to be over 100. That means if it's over 100, roughly speaking, that the median household can afford the median priced home based on income levels, based on mortgage rates, all of that. Well, unfortunately, mortgage rates started to go up in October as the uncertainty with the elections really got baked in, and that caused affordability to go down. It's now at 98, which is still very affordable in comparison to much of the country, but we would like to see that number to be over 100. That being said, that's much better than it was last year. Last year was 86 in October of 2023. And so this year it's at 98. So what we're seeing is incomes have been rising faster than the cost of real estate has been rising. And as a result, affordability is better than it was. What about housing inventory? This is a number that sometimes gets revised. Let me look at what last month's numbers were. So September... when I looked at September of this year, it came out as 5,011. That got revised down to 4,637. Still a big increase from September of 2023 when inventory was 3,500, okay? So September had a big, big increase in inventory, albeit not quite as big as what we originally thought based on the numbers that came out. So it went up 32%. 32.4% year on year. October is showing that our inventory, which is just the number of homes for sale at the end of the month, is showing that inventory is sitting at 4,948. That would be a 35.3% increase over the 3,656 of October of last year. However, if we get a revision comparable to this past month, which was a revision close to 500 units, then we'll actually find this number falling below the September number, and also still being an increase year on year, but much less of an increase year on year versus October of last year. Normally, we would see the month on month inventory numbers go down. So normally, this time of year, you know, we've already seen inventory crest, and normally it would start to go down from here. But that usually starts a little bit sooner than now, but it might be as a result of all the different things going on in addition to the Helene effect, that perhaps the descent of inventory has started a little bit later in the year. So now it's looking increasingly like perhaps our peak of inventory was September, and now we're going to start seeing inventory start to fall. And if you look at normal years, I'm not going to look at the pandemic years, but if you look at normal years, it kind of bottoms out in December, January, February, and then starts to go up usually February, March, when sellers start to go back online and decide that they want to sell their homes again. Months of inventory is currently saying it's 3.8. I think that this is going to be revised, right, because I just discussed that inventory and pending sales are probably going to get revised, both of those things. And month supply literally divides, it divides the monthly pending sales by inventory. This is going to get revised, but it's currently sitting at 3.8 is what is predicted. Last month, they thought before revisions, it was 3.9, and then September got revised down to 3.5. So I think we can reasonably project that October will probably come in, once this is revised, at like 3.4 months of inventory. Again, hovering right in the mid threes for inventory. What does that mean? It just means that supply and demand is still staying. It's kind of stabilized in the 3.5 month range for now. That means that seller and buyer behaviors have adapted somewhat. If we start to see this number soar into the fours, well, then that would tell us that that would be an indicator that prices are likely to start coming down. And that's why I'm not drawing too many major conclusions from that median price showing two consecutive months year-on-year declines, because some of the other fundamentals, specifically this month's supply of inventory, isn't showing dramatic spikes. Until that happens, I'm not putting a ton of weight in whether prices are actually falling in any meaningful way. I'm just going to discuss this real quick, because for those of you that might be interested in why the average sales price and the median sales price is so disconnected, I'm going to show you guys a little chart here that I normally don't, and it's closed sales. And you'll see here, we've got closed sales at 150,000 and below, 150 to 250, 250 to 350, 350 to 500, 500 to 750, 750 to a million, and a million and above, okay? And where are we seeing the biggest increases year on year? It is in the 350 and above. Let me come back to that. But take 350 all the way up through a million and above, and that is by far the biggest increases. Everything below 350 did increase closing sales year on year, except for the 150 and below, because there's just not a whole lot of inventory 150 and below. But between 150 and 350, we still saw increases, but those increases paled in comparison. So here's the breakdown of the increases, right? 150,000 and below was down 23.5% year on year. It went down from 851 closed sales last year that were at that price point to only 651 this year. That market's basically going away, right? The 150 and below, it's almost gone. 651 closings in 1 month is not a whole lot for that price point. 150 to 250, that was only up 1.4% year on year. It went up to 3441 closed sales versus 3393. 250 to 350 price point, that went up 5.1% year on year, up to 5846 for October 2024. And then here's where we start to see the big numbers. 350 to 500, up 9.8% year on year, up to 3636, which was over 300 units higher than the year before, October before. 500 to 750 was up 8.2% year on year, up to 1621 versus 1498, October of the year before. 750 to a million was up 16.7% year on year. So 448 versus 384 of October of last year. And then a million and above was up a whopping 22.5% year on year for October, up to 462 versus 377 of last year. So this is what I'm talking about. When you have a median price point at 315, but you're having closed sales for $1 million properties, $800,000 properties, $700,000 properties that are really exceeding previous years, that's going to drive your average to be much, much, much higher than the median would be. And so that's exactly what's happening here. Now, if you're looking at the chart and perhaps you processed it as you were hearing the numbers without looking at it, you're like, well, the number of units was way higher for the, you know, 250 to 350 and 350, 500, et cetera, et cetera. And that's accurate. And that's why the median is lower, right? Because the median looks at the middle number. And so the middle numbers are flooded by this 250 to 500 price point. And that's why we come up with the median of 315, whereas the average is in the 400s. So I hope that makes sense. Practically speaking, what does this mean? Because some people are perhaps listening for the practical elements of this. Here's what I would say. If you're a buyer, don't sit on the sidelines. This is not the time to sit on the sidelines. I've already said there's deals out there, right? You don't want to be the guy or the gal that misses out on the deal when it comes up. I have a lot of closings in the month of December, historically. A lot of closings. And a lot of buyers that find properties in the month of December. Don't miss out. If you miss out, you're just hurting yourself, right? There's no point in getting discouraged and saying, you know what? I'm done. I'm just going to wait until the new year. No, no, no. Don't wait until the new year. There are deals to be done. There are buyers. There are other buyers that are sitting out the market right now, and you can take their place. You can step in and be the buyer that they are not. You can be better than them. And listen, I'm available. I'm available for you guys. I will work through the month of December. I've got all sorts of different holiday things going on. I'm still going to be working for you guys, for all of my clients. So keep that in mind. If you're a seller, you just sit tight, right? I'm coaching my sellers, and I've got all of my sellers right now under contract except for one. And that one's just kind of an odd situation. But I'm telling my sellers, you need to sit tight right now because the market is odd. Again, we still have the Helene effect kind of muddying the waters, no pun intended. We still have the post-election aftermath. We still have rates going up and down. We got all sorts of things. And I don't think that now is the time to overreact and do massive price drops. You're not getting any showings and you're getting showing to people who are saying, oh, this home is just way overpriced. Listen, I've coached multiple clients the past couple of months to sit tight, let the market come to you. And guess what? It's worked out for every single one of them. I had a property I just got under contract today as I'm recording this. Just got under contract a few hours ago. After I listed it, it sat on the market for several weeks with zero showings. I reached out to my clients and I told them, don't worry about it. You don't need to panic. It's discouraging that there's no showings, but everyone's experiencing this right now. Well, guess what? After several weeks, all of a sudden, people start showing the house. You know, sometimes all that needs to happen is a little shift in inventory. A few homes, you know, if you've ever bought real estate during a time when there's a lot of inventory, you know what this looks like. You might have, you know, there might be three or four homes that you're interested in and you've got them prioritized, A, B, C, D. You make a play for A first, that goes under contract. You make a play for B, that goes under contract. Then you go to C and D. And sometimes your home, if you're a seller, is the C or D option for a buyer. And you just need to wait for options A and B to go away before your home then becomes the new A or B option for a buyer. So these are the sorts of conversations that I'm having, and I found it very interesting. The one listing that I don't have under contract right now has only had a handful of showings. And so I decided the other week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do an open house. Well, it's kind of gutsy doing an open house right before Thanksgiving. But I thought, you know what? I'm just going to try. If I don't get anyone to show up for it, I'll just watch football. You know, I'll pull up my computer and I'll just watch football during the open house. No harm, no foul. Well, guess what? I'd had this home on the market for several weeks, only two showings. I had the open house. The open house was packed. Packed! I had so many people, I couldn't even talk to all of them. Which is, By the way, not super common right now in this market, right? What did that tell me? Well, I talked to some of these people, some of these people that walked through the open house, and they were all very positive about the house, but everyone's waiting, and they were all waiting until the new year, or some of them had leases that, you know, they're waiting to expire, all sorts of different things happening. And so that gave me great feedback. That told me, okay, and I'll do open houses for every listing. Some listings, it's more appropriate than for others. But in this case, I felt like the feedback would be helpful, and it was immensely helpful. It told me, you know what, nobody is overreacting to this home, to the price of the home. People just need to, it just needs time, right? It's at a price point that's challenging for some people right now. And it's one of those situations where we just need to hold tight, unless the seller is, you know, at a point where they just aggressively need to sell the home. And at that point, you can tinker with the price point and try to make it more attractive in that way. But that's not what we're doing at this time, because I just communicated with a bunch of people at an open house that told me they thought it was priced correctly. They liked the house. They thought it was a really great house. They're just not ready yet. And once you get that feedback consistently, that tells you something. That tells you, you know what, if you don't have to panic, don't panic. Just let things ride and let the market come to you. So that's my advice if you're a seller right now or if you're a buyer. Hopefully that's helpful. And hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. Please like, rate, review, subscribe to it. Please reach out to me if you need a realtor in the Greenville area. Please contact Piper Insurance Group. All of our contact information is in the show notes. Contact them if you need a free quote today. Actually, even if you don't think you need it, you need it. So contact them today for a free quote. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, by the way. I jumped right past that. Hope it was great. I had a good one. And I've got a lot of great content planned for the end of the year. So please stay tuned, and we will talk again next time.